Welcome everybody to Mental Health Mondays, episode 2. This is the podcast where, of course, you guys are the co-host. Have you grown or changed as a person? Do you want to celebrate the better you and tell your own story? That's what we're here for. That's the whole point. Remember that if you like what you hear and or see, that you can go over to patreon.com/DylanKG and you can get early access to this podcast before it goes live on podcasting services. And of course, remember that for the sake of this being a polished podcast, we all have all of our Twitch alerts turned off. We can read Twitch chat where necessary, where it makes sense, by calling out, you know, usernames and whatnot. But today, of course, we've pulled a member of the community, like what we mentioned, from our Twitch chat here to talk about what they have experienced in return, or I guess in terms of like personal growth, personal development, and mental health, kind of tie it all together. They have really developed, and they're proud to share their story. So today we're referring to our friend Huggin' Guns from the community. Would you like to introduce yourself? I do want to remind anybody that this does get syndicated on like Spotify. So if you are telling stories, just be sure you're telling stories you don't mind like the world hearing several times over. But I digress. Would you like to introduce yourself, Hug?
Yes. Hi. My name is Huggin' Guns, but most people on here call me Hug, Huggy, or Corey. I am 25 years old. I work as a night manager at a, basically a large grocery chain / company. And I'm here to tell my story about toxicity, how I was once a toxic person and how I took steps to overcome that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, when it comes to toxicity, we were just talking about it earlier before we actually recorded this, and there's so many people that experience toxicity or usually elicit toxic behavior. I still do it, but to me, I do it to myself. I used to do it to other people, like in high school and even, you know, in other places, online, the internet, stuff like that. And I've changed a lot of the external behaviors, but I'm still very toxic to myself. So I'm excited to hear your story. So everybody in chat, give it up for Huggy for coming on, talking about what's, you know, just this positive growth they've had. Take it away, Hugs. Tell us about your story, man.
Okay, so growing up, I had a pretty normal childhood, aside from having a twin brother. I wouldn't consider that normal, abnormal. But I didn't have any, aside from being bullied in school and then being pulled to homeschool because of being bullied, I would say that's kind of the start in the direction of toxicity. Is I think a lot of us who have been toxic were in turn bullied and then kind of internalized those feelings, and then they started, you know, using that, right? You were treated like crap, and then you go out and you treat others like crap. And I didn't start doing that until later in my life. I want to say about my teens, where lo and behold, I got myself my hands on the internet and online playing games. And it wasn't just an instant transformation. It was a slow progress. We've all heard what people say, you know, toxic phrases. They use slurs and chat. They, you know, roast people nonstop. I started getting into that. I started joining in the group because I thought it was fun, because it was the in thing. And as someone who was bullied in their childhood, that was kind of like, oh, well, I don't have to feel that way anymore because I'm turning on somebody else, rather than saying, oh, I'm treating others the way I was treated, right? It's that internalization. Yeah. And so it progressed there, but it was never anything serious up until, I would say, I never was in person toxic. It was like a persona.
Yeah.
You wear a mask online, you're like your shit-faced troll, like, ooh, let me type these mean comments, but like in person, you're normal. It didn't start bleeding out, I would say, until I was actually 20. And I had my first relationship, and lo and behold, things got really bad, and I ended up getting cheated on, and she left me for the other guy who was a good friend of mine. That's when a switch flipped in my brain, and the toxicity started not turning down. I started like doing everything I could to make her life and all her friends' life hell. Like, I didn't key any cars or anything, but I would make sure to leave me notes. I would just do whatever it took to get back. And it also started affecting me. because I had no escape from my own toxicity, it started making me more and more down. Until one night, coming home from work, I just had the, I would say the only time I've ever had suicidal, well, this is kind of dark, just a heads up, suicidal ideation. Like, I was in my house, I was sitting in the living room, and I was like, I don't want to live on this fucking planet anymore. I am just done. Now, I didn't do anything, but I pulled myself out, and I wish I knew the resources that are out there now. Like, I'm totally happy to share any resources, whatever. I did not know this at my age, at that time, that there were resources available, texting, whatever. And it took the next day, a group of my friends, it was just so happened to be the next day, two of my buddies, my closest friends, came up to me like, we need to talk to you, dude. We see a change in you, and you gotta let this all go. And it was kind of the aha moment for me, where I was like, I can change, and people do care about me. And I started working on myself. Now, turning from a toxic to a non-toxic person is a long journey. This isn't just snap my fingers, oh, I'm better now, I'm not going to be a, you know, jerk no more. It is a long, enduring process, and there are still times where I feel toxic, even though I'm not. It's a perpetual worry of mine, where if I say something, if I'm real with a friend, like if they expect me to be real with them, if they expect me to tell them the truth, I worry, am I actually being toxic? Is this my past coming up and biting me in the butt? So it's one of those perpetual fears. I'm not sure if it ever leaves you. Like I said, I've only not too long ago started working on improving myself. It's only been a couple of years. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think it ever truly leaves you. And it's something you'll perpetually struggle with, but you can change. You can be a person, a better person. I would say to the people who are toxic, who are looking to change, it's a journey, but you can be better. You can change. And the world's a better place than what you're putting on it. There's a lot of internal hurt that comes with being a toxic person. And it's up to each person to address that pain within themselves to change.
Yeah, that's a huge thing is, you know, all too often we see, you know, on the internet, just, you know, like kind of what you said, you know, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of frustrated, angry people, a lot of trolls, and there's a lot of inner turmoil. That stuff comes from somewhere, I like to believe anyway. So I agree with the statement that, you know, you have to kind of address a lot of that inner frustration or anger or, you know, and it can be difficult. It could be almost, for a lot of people, it could be almost impossible to do by yourself. And in your case, you had people that came to you and said, hey, like, we see something, you know, this like can't go on any longer.
Yeah, and I think it honestly, it takes you to get to, if not your worst, a really terrible state to be willing to change, because the slow decline is not something, very few people are going to see a slow decline in themselves and be like, oh, I got to fix this right now, unless you've already been at a really low point. It takes you to hit a really low point to want to get back up. Once you hit rock bottom, you can push yourself up.
Yeah.
But, it's just one of those things where I want to talk about, I like talking about like dealing with toxicity. I talk to it about my friends and all that, because I think it's one of those things where it's not really addressed. Like, we see it from the victim standpoint, right? Like, toxicity is bad, but we don't talk to the people who are toxic and be like, why? And I think it takes those of us who were toxic in our past to talk about this stuff. Like, I think me being a former really toxic person, it gives me a unique perspective on like, hey man, I know you like what it's like to be in your shoes. I've been there personally. I'm gonna let you know, life ain't like that. It does get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I think a lot of times, because when you've lived in both worlds, right? Like when you've reformed in a way, I think it's really interesting because you can better empathize with that person. Cause I think personally, yeah. we justify our toxic behavior when we're frustrated. You know, we're hurting. Like in your case, I think, and I don't, it might be different. I would like to hear your thoughts, but in your case, it was you're hurting, and I want you to hurt the way that I'm hurting, right?
Yeah, it was that. It was literally that, and it took me about. It was literally a year of this spiral. This was a whole year after the breakup that it took me to realize I don't want to be like this. Like holding on to this aggression, holding on to this petty stuff is hurting me more than it hurts them, and them hurting isn't going to make me feel any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's... And I think, especially in breakups, right, I feel like a lot of people go through those types of feelings, right? Like, especially when the other person seems to be fine or they're moving on and you feel stuck and you're like, it's not fair and I want you to be stuck where I'm at. Like, you don't get to move on till I move on or whatever the case may be. I know I've done that.
Those were the exact feelings I felt because it was literally, I found out within a week that it was my former best friend who she ended up with. And that feeling of like, well, you know, like literally the dust hasn't even settled yet. I haven't had my time to grieve and you're already finding somebody else who is somebody who I trusted. And it just, I internalized all that. I let it consume me is the thing. And it really turned me into somebody who I'm not proud to have been, but it was a learning experience for me. I look back on that time and I'm like, I learned things from this. I don't think I did bad things, but I didn't do anything terrible where I can't look at myself in the mirror, I think is the thing. Like, I can look at myself in the mirror, like, I did bad things, but I learned, and I'm worthy of being a better person.
Yeah, I think, and you know, everyone's circumstances are different, for sure. It's there are people that sometimes feel a lot of guilt over, you know, what they do and things of that nature, you know, if they do something that was less than flavorful in a state of being hurt or hurting or things of that nature. In regards to reformation, you know, what do you find particularly helpful in regards, because it is a long process, becoming a healthier person, you know, ceasing indulgence in toxic behavior. What's the hug and guns, you know, 10-step process or however, what really set it off for you, aside from, you know, obviously you had this start talking to from your friends. What happened next?
I actually just started putting myself out there amongst my friends. One of the signs that I was becoming more toxic, not just online but in person, was I started shutting myself in. I'm not always the most social, outgoing person, but I just stopped going out altogether. And my house became sort of like this compression zone of my emotions. And at that time, I didn't realize that getting in that house would have been good for me. But as soon as we had that talk, I just started regularly getting out of the house. I would go on walks. I would hang out with my friends. And it started easing up there. And I just started taking the time to make my life better. Ultimately, if you are stuck, if you feel you're stuck and you want any, like, you still have those feelings of revenge, it's the solace of, I can make my life better than before, is what basically I did. Is like, I got treated like crap, but I can be better than that, and I can make my life better, and that will be in the revenge. In the way, it's not revenge, though. It's not me out trying to be petty. It's me just being the best me that I can be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I took solace in that fact, and I just rolled with it. And I'm in a better place now. I'm looking for a better job. I'm just improving my overall life, putting myself out there on the regular, just trying to be the best me that I can.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I struggled for a long time moving on after breakups. The thing that helped me, and it very much resonates with what you said, was just like, kind of what I would do is go like, well, if you didn't want me, then I'm gonna show you what you're missing out on, and like go out to be the best version of me possible and go achieve and go do a ton of things. And eventually, by like investing so much into myself, I had kind of repaired a lot of the holes that were left from that person's departure, however, and eventually it was like, oh, I actually don't really, doesn't bother me anymore.
Right, it's the action of, right, it starts out petty, right? You're like, oh, I'm going to be the best me that I can, you know, like, screw them. But, like, in the action of doing it, you do become a better person. You're like, you know what, this isn't even worth worrying about. They're missing out. I'm going to focus on me, so.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It can start out, and it can feel like that's how you're going to get them. Like, I'll show them, you know, and is that good? It's healthier than other forms of doing that. You know, if that's how you have to internalize it, I think that then, you know, that's, it's very human of a lot of people to feel that way. And I don't, you know, to me, that's probably the healthiest way for that I've ever moved on, was being that person that was like, you know what, I'm going to work on me for a bit. I'm not going to send you messages. I'm not going to do this or that. I'm just going to work on me and like passively overcome, you know?
Yeah, I think it's okay to do that too. I don't think it's petty, like really bad to start off that way, as long as you don't go back to where you were when you are progressing. Like, in the end, the action of becoming better becomes its own reward versus getting back at that person. It may start out that way, but it doesn't end that way.
Yeah, yeah, or hopefully it doesn't, right? Like, letting that consume you can definitely be problematic. The hope that I say anyway, the hope for what anytime I ever went through this was that I was going to invest in myself and get so caught up and kind of lost in that self-investment that I look back and go, oh, huh, that doesn't hurt so much anymore. And kind of just get lost in helping myself instead of doing it to make a point. So it's a balance beam. It could be a little tough. If you're not going out of your way to like prove them wrong or something, if you're, you know, like I said, it's gotta be like passive, I think. It's so difficult, but now in regards to like toxicity and kind of your, you said that you were really aiming a lot of that stuff very intentionally at that person and you know, mean notes or maybe even mean text messages, things of that nature. What did that look like really when it came down to it? Was it just, and did that like bleed into like other like work relationships, like friendships, like blowing people off, being rude, like really how pervasive did this get?
Okay, so it got pretty pervasive on the sole fact that my coworker was my ex. Long story short, don't date your coworkers. It does not end well. So I had, this was like a week before, like I was still struggling internally with all this. Like I didn't know how to feel.
Right.
It didn't quite turn into rage yet when I already had half the store that I work at coming at me, telling me you were a bad boyfriend.
Ooh.
And I'm like, ooh. Wow. Okay. So it kind of led into that. Like I should never have let it get to me, but, and I internalized that, but there was so much going on that,
yeah,
I blame myself, but I don't blame myself. It's kind of weird. Like ultimately you are partially responsible, but the circumstances around it were just, looking back, astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would say the very first thing I did thereafter when I started getting overwhelmed was I took everything she had ever given me aside from a few collectibles and I put it all in trash bags, and then I texted her saying, it's amazing how much 2 years of a relationship can go in trash bags. That was really petty. I should not have done that. Because it, like, again, when you start feeding into it, it's a small transformation, but then it can lead to bigger
cycle,
and bigger things.
Right?
Yeah. It's a cycle. It doesn't just end there. You tell yourself it ends there. You tell yourself, oh, you know, I'll just do this one petty thing. But then you're like, no, every little thing is an imagined slight, and you just keep coming back with more. And there was a realization in that for me where I was like, you know, even seeing her come into the store when she doesn't work there no more was like an imaginary slight in my head where I felt I had to get back at her. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare she come back into the store? And yeah. I realized it's not even worth it. Like, I'm spending all my time. Technically, I'm at work, you know, supposed to be working, and I'm sitting there in my head dwelling on this past stuff that happened, what, a year ago? It's not even worth it anymore. Like, you just gotta let it go after that. You, it come, like, ultimately the transformation has to come within. I'm thankful that I was a person who was willing to change, that I saw the bad. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get there, but I did change. Because you can't make a horse drink from water if it doesn't want to. You can't force it. It's just one of those things where I think in general toxicity is like, it's one of those things where like, you kind of, it's like quitting smoking. You have to get the person to want to, otherwise they never will. Right. You can't force them to do anything they want. They have to realize, oh, this is bad for me. And ultimately, either the toxicity or the smoking, sometimes you'll find it comes from, like, there's another reason to it. A friend of mine had an uncle who was a smoker, but he stopped smoking when he had a dog. When the dog passed due to old age, he started smoking again. It wasn't the doctor tried to encourage him to get a new dog instead of just saying, oh, I should just quit smoking. Just quit smoking. When he got the new dog, he stopped smoking immediately. So ultimately, it comes down to facing what is the cause. You have to look inside yourself, be like, why am I doing this? What is the reason? And it takes a lot of soul searching, but it's 100% worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's, you know, it's very much, and this is something I've experienced. This is just like kind of a story on my end. But when it comes to relationships, if you and like a lot of life, really, not just relationships, but I found this to be true specifically in relationships, was that if I wanted to, if somebody wanted me to change, but I didn't see the reasoning behind that change, I might change for them, but it would be very temporary. In the long run, I would revert back to old habits, or the minute that we were split up or something, I went back to old habits because I didn't feel like it was a change that benefited me, and it felt like a chore to do it because it didn't inherently benefit me. And I think that to me is like, if you go to church or, you know, a lot of other habits, right? If you do these things to like appease the people around you, it's not a habit. It's not something that you're like, you don't have like a lot of conviction towards it. And change is like the biggest part of that, right? Like if your friend's like, go to the gym with me, and you're like, okay, Becky, shut up, I'll go to the gym, right? You'll go to the gym a little bit, but you may actually start falling off. But if you feel personally like it's going to benefit you, if you have conviction towards going to the gym, if you want to do it to see a better version of yourself, you're more likely to stay on it, stay on track, do things like that. That's the same with like quitting smoking and all these other things. Of course, there are tons of external variables, but I think ultimately, exactly what you said is, if you're not willing to like really be invested into it yourself, if you're doing it just for some other external reason, it's not going to work very well. You have to want the help, you have to want to change, you have to want it and see like the purpose in it. And with this, that's especially true, because I think when it comes to toxicity, one thing that happens really often is if somebody approaches you and is like, hey man, like you're not doing well, you're like a little mean lately, it's really easy when you're caught in that toxic spiral to go, nah, dude, like, F you, F this, like, you're not on my side. Like, it's easy just to lash out at people and alienate yourself further. When you see people start walking away because of that, then you can internalize it worse. It could really, like, trickle into itself. So,
yeah, it starts a spiral even more then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And now, you know, the narrative gets written that one breakup caused all your friends to leave or whatever it may be. And that may, you know, that may not even be the truth, but you've kind of helped to write that tale by being so, like, focused internally. You know, what do you think about the idea that there's a level of, like, emotional maturity we have to be able to take? Not necessarily to empathize, but to see both sides of a situation, or to employ logic. And I guess what I mean is, like, in a breakup, right, we have this tendency to really want that person back, even if they've cheated on us, or a lot of the times we miss them so much. And we can't like deny ourselves that emotion, like it's going to happen, right? You're going to miss them, you're going to wish you could go back, or at XYZ, you know. But being able to sit and go like, you know what though, if that person cheated on me, they didn't respect me, and that's not somebody I wanted to end up with, or XYZ, you know, insert whatever that may be here. Do you think that having that sort of thought process early on would have helped you? Or, you know, being able to maybe talk yourself down and go, you know what, this was for the better. My life's going to turn out better. It doesn't matter if she's happier now. If she is, awesome. Go her. And I may be hurting now, but it's for my benefit. Do you feel like if you'd had that perspective early on, that maybe you would have, you wouldn't have spiraled maybe in the way that you did, or I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think so. Again, I think it's also a case by case scenario. It depends a lot of things, like what's the environment after, are you able to get away from them? In my case, I wasn't, because for a while she was still at my store.
Yes.
And so I had to face my demons literally every day, and it wasn't a healthy thing. Now, if I had the space, I probably would have realized a little quicker that I was spiraling, but I do think it does take a little emotional maturity to realize what you're doing. But it also depends, because ultimately two people will have two very different perspectives after a breakup, right?
Like, of course.
My perspective, she cheated on me. That's the end of the story, right? She's a bad person. In the other perspective, she'd be like, well, maybe in her head, she probably rationalized as she wasn't getting fulfillment of something. I don't know. Never stopped to ask her. But it's like, it takes two to tango. And when it comes to a breakup, I think, like, it depends also on, like, each person's mental maturity. Like,
yeah,
I think there's a certain amount of growth you have to go through before you're able to sit down, or at least some time to sit down and go, okay, I'm spiraling. I need to fix myself. It took a little bit of a outside intervention for me to really see it. Like, I saw it, but I didn't want to stop it. It took friends to really give me that push I needed.
Right.
And going, if I had the same situation happen to me now that I'm experienced, I wouldn't do it. So I will say it does take a little mental maturity and having the right people in your back, who got your back, to cover you.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I would. I 100% agree. Yeah, case by case is really important there. Because there's always a reason, right? There, people have their reasons, and they may not be good in your eyes, but that's not the point, right? If somebody cheats, right, they don't feel fulfilled, or they don't feel happy, or they don't feel contented. Could they have gone about it differently? 100% yes, but there is a reason for the behavior, right? And yeah, on the other side. So it this type of spiral, I think, happens personally, just for like what I could think of. It happens so much more when one person feels like there is an undeniable slight against them, when there's no justification. Like, cheating, you should have just like broken up with me first. However, you know, in the scenario, if they had just broken up with you and then got with someone else, would you have felt better? Probably not. Like, maybe,
no.
But right. So, like, at the end of the day, does the justification matter? It's all, like, very situational. But I think the important thing to know about this is your starting point, and then, like, where you ended up kind of going with it, deciding to do better, to be better, to invest into yourself. And then having that experience under your belt to be able to, in the next breakup or the next thing, you know, being able to be like, you know what, like, that's okay. I'm one step closer to somebody that does want to be with me. I'm one step closer to the appropriate human being. Because, you know, and one thing I always say is they never, like, relationships never work out until you find the one that does, right?
Right.
Sure, like, you know, marriage rates, marriage and divorce rates are 50%, but happy marriages don't, like, people that are happily married don't get divorced, right? So, like, divorce is, like, inherently a good thing. There's a lot of, like, negative conversation around, like, divorces and, like, ending up happy, quote unquote, right? But I think at the end of the day, right, you every person that you get with and break up with and things like that builds closer to the person that is going to work out for you. And it could definitely be hard to see that when you're covered in, like, the throes of frustration after, like, 3 years of a relationship or 2 years of a relationship. But, you know, all we are is a compilation, right? The greatest hits of our experience. You know, we are that album, so we have to be willing to play those tracks.
Analogy.
Yeah, I mean, we got to play those tracks all the way through sometimes, and because I think if we, you know, it's easy to look at past relationships and think, like, oh, that was a waste of time. But was it? Like, I think, you know, we learned a lot, we grew a lot, we figured out maybe how we could be better and what we're looking for out of other people and how to communicate that better and X, Y, Z. So looking to your future, as we kind of also chat, if you guys have any questions for Huggin' Guns or myself, I guess, we're not necessarily here to give advice, but if you have questions or comments or anything like that you want us to read aloud, now would be the time, open forum. But in regards to relationships and like you moving forward, how has that specific event affected you? Aside from being like a less toxic person, how, like, what's the day-to-day look like? How are you feeling on a daily basis? You know, I personally, I know that when you have a better mindset, not every day is like bright sunshiny, but how do you feel on a daily basis coming out of that?
Overall, this, I would say the experience now is a good one, because even with all the bad that had happened, I learned so much about myself, what I'm willing to take and what I'm willing to not take in not just a relationship, but just in life in general. Oh. And how to deal with all that, the stuff I don't want better. So I would say overall that's a plus. I can look myself in the mirror now and be more happy than I was before going into it. I tell myself now that no matter what happens in any future relationship, that ultimately it is a learning experience, right? No two people you ever date will ever be alike. You will learn things as you go. Like, I learned a lot about myself just from one. What can I learn more about myself from others is how I think about it, right? Yep. You learn more from other people about yourself from other people than you do just in, like, in self-inspection. Self-inspection is good, but I believe a genuinely good, like, an honest person to look into you and tell you what they see is always a good thing. Like, it's hard to find those people because people come with their biases. But if you can find somebody who looks at you and tells you honestly what they see, unbiased, that's a plus.
Yeah. Even if it's a little painful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, sometimes the truth does hurt. But it's important to realize that those people who are being real with you are doing it for your interest.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah. Sarah the Proud says, I love you both. I'm proud of you both, and I'm happy to know you guys. Thank you, Sarah.
We love you too, Sarah.
From the Twitch chat. Creep, CreepinX says, what if your quote-unquote nearest friends are the reason you became toxic? How do you get rid of your toxicity? Interesting, actually.
If you don't mind, I actually kind of have a story that recently happened to me not too long ago. So, I've known these guys for probably about three, four years on Discord, and they've always been a huge part of my life, and we recently had a new addition to the group. We've known him for about 2 years now, and he was always more on the toxic side, and back when I was toxic going through the throes, I kind of just like put it to the back burner. But as I started to improve, I noticed his tendency to be toxic would affect me, and just little things going wrong in his life would set him off, and he would attack the group with like very spiteful messages that I know he didn't mean, but they still hurt. And I've talked to him multiple times about like, hey man, look, I know you're going through some things. If you ever need an ear, I'll be real with you, but I need you to stop like spamming everybody these messages because it's starting to affect others negatively. He didn't take it that well, and I decided to cut all ties with him because ultimately, while you try to be the best you can be for other people, you try to help others out, ultimately you have to look out for yourself first. And if I was in those shoes, if the roles were reversed and I decided to still be toxic and those IRL friends who pulled me from the brink decided, nah, fuck this man, he ain't worth it, we got to cut off ties with you because you're too toxic, I would understand, because you gotta be willing to help yourself. And I left the door open for him. I told him, look, I gotta stop talking to you. You're not affecting me. You're having a bad effect on my mental health. Reading your messages upsets me. I gotta take my space. I wish you the best. I wish you to look for like genuine help because you really like, I think you need it. Like, look for some better alternatives, improve yourself, and I will talk to you. Like, I didn't exactly make it an ultimatum, but I did tell him, look, I can't talk to you while you're in this state. I need you to try to improve yourself, to show me that you're trying to be a better person than you are. And I haven't heard from him yet, so jury's still out whether he'll try to improve or not. But I think it's a delicate balancing act with those people who are toxic friends in your life of, do I cut them off completely? Do I leave the door open? Ultimately, I think it depends on you as a person, them, what they've said to you, how much can you take, and just kind of roll with that. I would generally say, though, if a person is affecting you bad mentally and they are a friend, cut them off. It's just better for you in the end. You just wish them the best, cut them off.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not professionals or anything, but, like, in my own experience, it's difficult, right? Like, I was part of a quote-unquote friend group in, like, middle school, and I was kind of the butt of the jokes. That was the role that I played in that friend group. And as we got to high school and everybody kind of started going their own ways, I started realizing that I didn't like feeling the way I felt when I was around them. And they poked fun. They were, like, really disrespectful kids. They, like, you know, vandalism. Just, like, it got pretty out of hand. And they were slowly kind of pulling me into these kinds of things. I didn't want to be part of it. And that's kind of the first distinction. Like, if you feel you don't want to be part of, like, another group's behavior, that means that you probably shouldn't be part of that group anymore. That means that you have kind of a conscience about the situation. And so for me, I just had to find a new group. I would rather be completely friendless than to be around a group of friends that was making me into the kind of person I didn't want to be, if that makes sense. And that's way easier said than done, and there's all kinds of things about that. But I would, like I said, I would rather be who I want to be and be without any friends at all than be a pretty terrible person because of the friend group that I was around, because I feel like I had to be. So I hope that makes sense. So but, like, at the end of the day, you know, if and especially, you know, if you can have that conversation with them, I think that's important. But if they don't see a problem with that behavior, it's very difficult. And having that conversation, being the person to stand up, is also very difficult. So cutting people off or not, that all depends on your boundaries, what you're willing to do. But if you're willing to, like, step up for yourself and say, hey, I don't want to be like this anymore, then, you know, that's up to you. I also think that you could be the type of person you want to be. You don't have to let other people influence you. I think that's, like, an important distinction as well. I think that I have friends, or I've had friends at some points where I was like, I don't agree with a single thing that you do, but I care about you as a person, and we've grown apart, and I'm a different person now. And you can still play games together or do whatever. That doesn't mean you have to take on the traits or personalities of those people and become toxic or become mean or become rude like they are. That takes a lot more discipline and self-awareness and all kinds of other stuff, I think. But I don't think that you have to take on the traits of others either. It's all very difficult. But ultimately, I would say, if you don't like the way you feel around friends, find a solution, whether that means, like, leaving the door open for them and saying, like, hey, I can't be around you guys because it's just affecting me, like, really negatively. I love you guys. Maybe we can hang out once a week, but I don't like the way this is going, or whether you can still hang out with them but build yourself up. That's all up to you. I don't know what that looks like for you. Again, I'm not a professional in this regard, but that's where I stand with that. So, let's see here. Sarah the Proud says, I do have a question, actually. Would you call it toxic if someone will come to you asking for advice, but when you give them the hard truth that they're asking for, they ignore you for a couple days? I've had someone that's been doing that for a while. I want to chime in on this one real quick. I don't know. I would say not really. Also, I think it depends on what the quote unquote hard truth is. Obviously, I know you, Sarah, and you're not somebody to be, like, hateful or rude to people. But a lot of the times we say things in the world today and we say, well, that's just the hard truth. And we back up some really fucking mean things. We say some really mean things and say, well, that's the truth. But, you know, there is no truth. Like, no one person knows, like, the truth regarding, like, somebody else. And what I mean by that, because that sounds like BS, is if somebody asks you, like, hey, am I this type of person? the thing that we should say is like, hey, well, it appears to me that like these are the behaviors and they make me feel this way and I don't like that. So here's what I think. But I digress, yeah. Like semantics, right? But
because you can give advice mm-hmm. and not be a jerk. Like there's a fine line there, like being real with somebody and then just being kind of bashing them. Like there yeah. is that like middle ground you got to tread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that being said, Sarah, I know you and I don't think that that's the case. If somebody's ignoring you for a couple days, that just depends on what like the aftermath of that looks like. When somebody tells me something that like I don't necessarily need to hear, but I can acknowledge it, I have to internalize it, which means like I'm upset. Now, am I upset at the person who gave me the advice that I asked for? No. That means I'm upset that what I thought about myself is true. Maybe I'm embarrassed. Maybe I'm frustrated. There could be a number of reasons why that person isn't talking. Is it aimed at you? I don't know. I have no idea. That's a conversation to have with that person. If they're completely ignoring you, here's the thing. Somebody could always say, hey, I need some time to process this. That was rough. I'll talk to you soon. I'll reach out next week. Whatever. You know, people can respect boundaries or set up boundaries in that sort of way. But it requires like a level of elegance, and it requires a level of like self-awareness, and it's not easy to do that, right? Because that admits that you have something that you need to digest, or that like you're hurting, and that's difficult. So what to do? Are they toxic? They're not a toxic person necessarily. Is it a toxic behavior? Not necessarily. Could they handle it better? Yeah. But unless I knew it was inherently intentionally spiteful, mean, rude, or otherwise, it's hard to say. It could be. It may not be. I think it's important to reach out to that person to go, hey, if you didn't like what I said, I didn't mean to hurt you. You asked for my opinion. That was in all honesty, my opinion. The door is always open if you want to chat it out. Reach back out to them. Leave the door open. Do all you can. But ultimately, you have to wait for them. And that's where you kind of have to like walk away a little bit. I don't know. What do you think, Hug?
I agree. It depends on like what was said that was the truth to them, because maybe they are just taking a step back each time and are actually genuinely self-evaluating, and to do that they need that kind of space. I would say next time they chat you up, be like, oh hey, I notice you take these spaces. Is it because, like, is it due to self-evaluation? Because you want to just double check to make sure that what you said didn't just set them off. Like, if they're intentionally being toxic, then, yeah, I mean, right. Cut them off. But I don't think this person's being toxic. I think that they are most likely just taking a space to self-evaluate. Distancing oneself from a friend because they heard something that they didn't like, I don't think is innately toxic. I think it's just they need their space, and I would just respect it personally. But if it does come to a point that it does upset you, it's important to have that honest dialogue between the two of you about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. And like I said, yeah, you can't force the dialogue, so all you could do is leave that door open and hope they step on through. So that's what I'm hoping. Von Schapler TV says, how does anyone know/can tell they're toxic when they don't have an active quote-unquote social life? Is there a way to tell that person can... Is there a way to tell that so this person can look for a way to stop being toxic? Man. Yeah, if you don't have people to hold you accountable, how can you get a third-person perspective? That's pretty difficult. It requires like a lot of self-reflection, I think.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself holding the world or people in contempt, or having just like and here's the thing, toxic behavior. I'm not trying to gatekeep toxic behavior. I want to make that super clear. I'm not labeling what is or isn't toxic behavior. To me, this is all my perspective on what I think toxic behavior is. If you're being mean to people or putting people down or like chasing that kind of stuff down, that I think that is toxic. You know, if you're mean on the internet, if you're rude to people IRL in real life, you know, if you are perpetuating some really bad behaviors and affecting the lives of those around you, I think that's toxic. Now, if you're thinking like bad thoughts in terms of like if you're down or depressed or sad, I don't think that's toxic, right? I think it's when you enact that kind of, if you are sad or depressed or anxious and you put that on other people, or you elicit bad behaviors towards others. I think that's when that can delve into the realm of toxicity. But that requires, like, you to, you know, look into what you're doing, you know? So if you're going to, like, I don't know, comment on a post on Twitter, maybe thinking to yourself, does this help or does this hurt? And if you are leaning towards the side of hurting someone, you know, like putting someone down or something of that nature, then okay, maybe that's a bad behavior. If you're giving criticism and trying to use the best wording possible and giving people benefit of the doubt, I don't think that you are toxic. It's hard though. What I'm saying is basically you're stepping through a field of landmines and it's going to take a little bit of time. But unless you're like really trying to hurt others or put others down or, you know, manipulate others, what, you know, things of that nature, I don't think that you're, I think that's where like the line is. But how do you know?
Intent is a very hard thing to tell from behind the screen of your phone or the screen of your computer. Yeah. That's the thing.
Especially on flat text. I think journaling is really important, too. To journal something down and look at it a few days later and go, huh, that was a weird thought that I had. You know what I mean? Things of that nature. But, it, yeah, that can be difficult when you're on yourself or when you're on your own. You know, especially like me with like the mental health struggles that I have with my different disorders, it's hard for me to know what am I perceiving as real or what am I making up, right? Like what's real, what's going on in my head, and where's the truth lie in between? So, yeah, that can be difficult. I don't know. What do you think, Hug?
Telling the signs of toxicity when someone doesn't have a social life. That's a tough one because, honestly, on that, are you talking about the person themselves? That just requires a whole lot of self-reflection, as you said. Let's see. But that's a tough one. See, I'm still processing that one in my head. I'm still.
Yeah, that one's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I would just say, a lot of self-reflection. Wording is very important because when you say something that's supposed to be constructive criticism, you're balancing again being hurtful versus giving advice, and it's pretty clear you can, like, there are blatantly hateful comments out there, but when you're giving criticism, you have to consider, are they going to take this seriously or not? Like, wording is very important. It's hard to tell sarcasm from a screen or from text. So, I don't know. That one, I think Dylan said it best, honestly, when it comes to a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because, you know, I think I've been there where I don't have, like, a ton of friends to really bounce stuff off of. So, I think that's kind of where I've landed on it anytime I try to be, but, and there's, and it's all subjective, I think, too. We kind of live in a world where if we disagree with someone, they're being toxic. That word gets thrown around like a ton. And so I think, again, empathy and being able to like figure out motive and things like that. So, well, Hug, it's been about, what, 45, 50 minutes almost. So
I lost track of the time.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we kind of wrap things up here? Anything else you wanted to touch on regarding your own personal story?
A little bit extension on what you just said about toxicity, the word being thrown around a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It is thrown around a lot, and people will immediately take any sort of criticism you get, whether how good intention you are, and say, "Oh, you're being toxic." It's important if you were genuinely being a good person, if you worded it the best way that you can, it's important not to let that stuff get to your head. That might be something more speaks about them than you. As long as you're out there trying to be the best person you can be and you tried and you actually like looked through what you said, as long as you think about what you're saying, I don't think you're being a toxic person. Some people might be looking a little too hard in between the lines, trying to find something mean. Because in this day and age in the internet, it's like everybody's out here looking for like, is this person saying something bad about me? Even though they're, you know, it's an inherently a neutral comment, but oh boy, I think they're saying something bad about me. They're toxic. It's important to take a step back from that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone would be better off trying to be the best versions of themselves, not looking too hard into anything, mean-spirited or otherwise. Don't take any comment you see online too seriously. Think before you type that angry tweet. Just be the best yous.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, the easiest way I always try to sum that up is just try to assume positive intent. If you're having a negative thought about, like, oh, somebody said this, like, mean thing and I'm really mad, it's like, well, maybe they didn't mean it that way. You know, like, always try to assume wherever you can that positive intent is there. So, well, Hug, thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I think that that resonates with a lot of people, especially when it, you know, in regards to relationships. I think we really kind of put ourselves to the test when we get out of a relationship, you know, whether we're the dumper or the dumpee. And it was very heartwarming to hear you open up and talk about, because it's hard to admit to ourselves a lot of the time that we were maybe not the greatest people.
Not even gonna lie, I was big nervy telling a story.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I used to be a very angry person who put lots of holes in the walls, and you know, we've all had like really bad moments, and so being able to overcome that is, you know, giving other people strength that maybe they can overcome it too. So, yeah. I don't, you know, I always ask this to the people we interview that are broadcasters or whatever, but. In your mind right now, is there anything you would like to plug? You know, maybe I don't know, your Battle.net or something like that. Anything you want to plug on the internet?
Yeah, sure. If y'all want to hang out with me sometime on Discord, my Discord is HugginGuns, HUG/N/guns7430. Y'all can hang out with me there. We'll play some video games sometime. I consider myself a streamer, even though how rarely I do stream. Hugging Guns, all one word, no caps. Been planning a comeback for a little bit, so plan to be playing some Dead by Daylight, some Destiny 2, talk some mental health talks, talk about people's lives, try to make the Twitch world a better place overall.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show, guys. Remember, this was Mental Health Mondays. This is episode 2. Today we talked about toxicity. We talked about how Huggin' Guns, he came on, shared his story about how he overcame being a really toxic person. This is the show where you guys can come on and be the guest. You could be the co-host. You could share your story. The intent here is to celebrate your growth as an individual, to remind others that it's possible to grow, right? So thank you guys for being here. Remember, if you like what you hear /see, head on over to patreon.com/DylanKG. Only a $2, I believe it's $2. For only $2, you can head on over and get early access to the podcast in its entirety. And it'll be up on Monday on Spotify and iTunes, Google Play. Thank you guys for being here. And I don't know, we got to find a catchphrase for this and for this ending. Oh, we'll find a catchphrase eventually. But until next time, guys, just keep your head on straight. That's really, we're going to start there.
I like that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Keep your head on straight.